Good morning, everybody. It's February 6th, 2019. My name is Larry Jacobs with a scratchy throat, as you can hear, because I got back from Florida attending two conferences there last week, back into Maine weather. So I'm suffering from the typical I'm back in Maine and the snow's on the ground cold. Okay, and a little scratchy throat, so bear with me today. We have a wonderful show for you today with my good friend, the leading expert in education, as far as I'm concerned, on student data privacy and compliance. Her name's Lynette Attai. She's written a magnificent book called Student Data Privacy, Building a School Compliance Program. She's our dear friend. You can see her ad in our magazine, which is the Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity magazine that we put out all about those subjects in education over at ace-ed.org. The new issue is just up on site. You'll love it. Go over there, check it out. Accessibility, Compliance, Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. It's going to be a great conversation. And we have to know, all of us in education, about compliance in this age of ed tech, et cetera. We have to protect student privacy. I've got the expert to talk about. She's going to talk about her book, all the other things, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be good. We're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org, and we'll tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio, like we always do, and also on Facebook over at EduTalk Radio as well. EduTalk Larry over on LinkedIn. Okay, check out ace-ed.org. My good friend, Lynette Attai. Hi, Lynette.
Hello, Larry. Great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. Are you down in Texas at TCEA, or are you in beautiful New York City?
I am back in New York.
Did you go to FETC last week?
I did. What a terrific conference. I was there speaking about data privacy, cybersecurity.
Yes.
It was a great event. Such a great participatory group of attendees.
Yep.
Just a fabulous service they put on there. So much learning, so much hands-on activity. Always a good time at FETC.
And I'll tell you, one of the reasons so many people go down there and why it is such a good show is because they have speakers like you down there, who are experts in the field.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I mean it, love. I mean it. You're just incredible. Lynette, I didn't say this before. Lynette is the founder, and she really is the expert on compliance within the industry. She's just amazing. She's the founder of Playwell, LLC. Playwell, LLC, okay? And it's at playwell-llc.com. And it's strategic advising to technology companies and education leadership and also legislators about compliance, about privacy, et cetera, et cetera. She's just amazing. And this book, Student Data Privacy, Building a School Compliance Program, is absolutely just great. And there's a new one going to be coming out, we hope, in June, Protecting Student Data Privacy with Classroom Fundamentals. All right, but it's really important. And Lynette, I'm going to ask you this. You gave your presentations at FETC. What were the questions that came up from the folks after they heard you speak? What was their concern? What were they saying? You covered the gamut. They still had questions. What were they?
Absolutely. And key questions are often, how do I get started? This is such a big project for schools and districts to tackle, protecting student data privacy. Right? Where do I start? How do I not get overwhelmed? And then the other really key question that I hear time and time again is, what about my classroom teachers, and how do I help them get engaged in the process of protecting student data privacy?
Which indicates that they are not necessarily engaged or don't know enough about it to be engaged at this state of the game, right?
I think we don't do a good enough job helping the educators understand why protecting student data privacy is important and making easy for them to handle student data properly. I think there's a real lack of professional development in this area, and teachers are overwhelmed with professional development. They're trained on so many topics, so adding one more to the pile is so challenging. And so we don't do a very good job of making it seamless and turnkey and just give them a way to integrate the right behaviors into their daily classroom activity without having it feel like yet one more requirement and responsibility on their shoulders.
Well, it's brutal. And why would a teacher, this is important for everybody listening to know, why would a teacher even be concerned about this? Well, it's the district that takes care of this. Okay, I'm not liable for everything. I'm just doing my job here. Why do the teachers need to even be concerned about this, Lynette? Student data privacy and compliance.
They need to be concerned about it for the same reasons that they're concerned about their students generally. Protecting student data privacy is just part of the fundamental responsibility of care that everyone in a school or district has for the students. And teachers have tremendous care and concern for their students.
Oh, they
but
do.
We just haven't shown them how to extend that care and concern into the data that they're handling every single day. And there is such a high volume of student information that passes through the hands across the desks of teachers on a daily basis, on an ongoing basis. And we just don't do enough to share with them, well, how do you handle this properly in a way that allows you to keep doing what you need to do with the data, but keep it safe and secure? And the truth of the matter is that the very networks that that student data sits on are also the networks that teacher information sits on, their payroll information, their employee information. And so learning how to protect student data is just part and parcel also of protecting their own information and that of their colleagues, right? It's the good behaviors that can protect the privacy of the data, the security of the data for students are the same behaviors that will help maintain the integrity of the network that their own information sits on.
And that's a wonderful point. But again, the mindset, and I'm not condemning anybody for this, is just a typical mindset. What's in the teacher's head is that, well, the district is protecting me. I don't have anything to do with that. Okay.
And you just said
that a lot of data passes through a teacher that could theoretically be breached, I guess is the way we say. But what data is that? What should they be aware of? Yeah, and you know exactly what I'm saying here.
Absolutely. It's everything, right? Think about what the teacher has access to in the classroom. It's not just the student names, their grades, their behaviors, their attitudes, their aptitudes, whether or not they had to go to the nurse that day, whether or not they were acting up, what's happening in their family life, in their home life. It's not just about a student's social security number. It's our privacy is very personal. Think about, you know, example I use in the next book is think about how the child would feel if their information got out. The grade for one student, grades don't seem like high value data from a breach perspective. But think about it from a personal perspective of the student or the student's parent. A terrific grade for one student is an embarrassing grade for another. That story that gets told at the family holiday dinner every year that everyone thinks is cute and charming, you may find mortifying. Some people will talk openly about their finances, others will not. It's personal. And so we have to think about what is the impact on the child if their information is out. Did they have a bad day? Were they acting out? Did they have a health issue? Were their grades suffering? These are the kinds of things that can really, you know, set a child back. And we don't intentionally set out to treat data irresponsibly. But the truth of the matter is that it's not the district that can have the biggest impact. The district can set the policies and build the program, but the success of that work depends very much on every employee in the district doing their part. The program, the policies, the procedures, they don't work if everyone is not participating. So teachers have an incredibly important role in making sure the district work is actually accomplished.
Well said. So let me ask you this, and you do know the answer to this. You know it either officially or anecdotally. All right. How are districts doing with this? Do districts really understand that? I'm going to use the word that reflects back on what you just said. Do they understand the depth of this? Okay, because there is a risk. There is a risk of hurting a child. That's the main risk. There's also a risk of litigation. Okay?
Absolutely.
And yeah, and they have to know this. And, you know, one is moral, the other is legal, all right? But, you know, our district's doing a good job. And by the way, you know the answer to this. I know you do. Even if you don't have the research, you have it anecdotally.
There is a wide range of awareness and readiness among districts. And I would say that most districts, the awareness has certainly gotten much higher in the past 3 years or so than it ever has been before. And so most districts are, they have an awareness that it's important, that they need to do something here. The levels of readiness and the levels of maturity of their privacy programs vary widely. And I think very few districts have got a strong, fundamental, mature, robust, turnkey program that's operating on all cylinders. However, there are a lot of districts that are working towards that. Interesting, there was a report that came out recently about the need for districts to have a chief privacy officer. And it's quite true. Districts should have someone who is dedicated to privacy. However, we know from a practical perspective, from a resource perspective, that's not always possible. So what happens is all of this work, privacy work, gets put at the hands and the feet of a technology director, an IT director, someone who has not been trained fundamentally on policy development, but is really more focused on availability of the machines, security of the network perhaps, right? So they've had to become security specialists, and now they're being asked to become privacy specialists as well. It's a lot to ask, and so it's understandable that we have these broad ranges of readiness amongst districts because we haven't given them the resources to put a proper program in place. Right? We haven't even given them the expertise really yet and the training to do it. So
there is training answer. It's called your book, Student Data
yes,
Privacy,
indeed.
Building a School Compliance Program. Okay, there is some training out there for everybody.
Indeed, and that was really the impetus for the book was there is this challenge that districts struggle with. Is how do I even get started? And we don't have the resources. So if I were to, whether I have a lot of resources as a district or not, how would I begin to frame out a privacy program for my district? Right? What do I do first, second, third? What are the action steps? How do I think about it? What is the role of leadership? And down to how do I write a policy? That is really what the book is about, is to say there is this challenge, and whether you have got all the resources in the world or not, where do you start? How do you get going? How do you frame out this program? What are the things to kind of guide you through it?
And, you know, you were at FETC, Future of Education Technology Conference. That's the acronym FETC, Future of Education Technology Conference. And I want to make this clear. Privacy, student data privacy and compliance to everything and all the rules, and it goes beyond technology. It goes beyond, and correct me if I'm wrong here, and we always think of an education these days, the curriculum, the delivery of content, a lot of it is technology-oriented. The way we pay our people, et cetera, it's technology-oriented. We have to be concerned about that. But am I wrong? This goes way beyond technology. This goes into comments or leaving a sheet of paper on your desk that might have an IEP for a child named Izzy Goldberg, okay? But other people can't see that. That's private, okay, between an educator and the principal and the needs of the school, all right? Am I right there? People think compliance, privacy, technology, but it goes beyond that. Right, Lynette?
You're absolutely right. It is not a technology problem. There's certainly ways in which we use technology or we bring technology into a district or into a classroom that can impact student data privacy. But whether there is technology or not, the data is there. The information is there. It exists on a variety of different platforms. It's paper. It's in the cloud. It's on the smart board. And we have to think about it in all of its formats.
I might add, it's also verbal. A teacher
absolutely
can say something.
The,
You know, I had to send Billy. He was acting up again. He's got the autism, and six people overhear that. Six kids overhear that or something. It's
That's
unbelievable.
Absolutely right. And teachers are usually, you know, quite good at making sure that they have private conversations with the students when they're struggling, that they have those discussions out of earshot of the other students. And so it's that same mindset that we need to apply to the information, no matter where it is, whether it's on paper, whether it's just a conversation, whether it's with technology usage. There's a story of there was a data incident in a district where a box of papers that were all regarding special education needs, it was a box that was going to be picked up to be shipped out to storage, and the box was left unsealed, and papers ended up outside blowing around in the wind. It wasn't secured properly, right? So we need to think about the information, no matter what platform it's on. Privacy and security matter. It's come to the forefront now with technology, but it's not a technology problem, and it's not solely technology. It's a behavior problem for the most part. Mm-hmm. When we talk about privacy, we're talking about our behavior, not about machines, more often than not. Machines can help us. They can support our behavior sometimes, but it's really about how are we thinking about the information. Are we recognizing that the information has value, that the information can be used for good or for harm, and are we behaving appropriately around it to respect, they protect the privacy, but in some ways it's to respect the privacy of the individual.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I have to ask you a funny question. As you were talking about all the things you were talking about at FETC, you know, you have a room filled with people, okay, who've decided to come to your presentation, and I hope they were mobbed. They should have been, because Lynette is really the expert, okay? What's the look on their faces? And this group was ed tech directors and various people in technology and education, okay? What was the look on their faces as you're going over all the possible things that could be a breach?
It really ranges from sort of overwhelm to a lot of heads nodding,
wow,
acknowledging that these are things that keep them up at night too, right? And these are things that people are aware of. These technology directors, they're aware of a lot of risks, and they're absorbing a lot of new information that we try to provide about how the risks come in, how they can prevent it, the types of, you know, technology and behaviors and awareness that needs to come to the table in order to mitigate the risk. A lot of, I think, relief at the idea that there are really simple things sometimes that can be done to mitigate risk. We look at these incidents, this ransomware or malware.
Right.
Phishing,
that's happened to school districts.
And we think, it's incredibly prevalent in districts. And we think, how can we possibly prevent it? I hear a lot from superintendents who say, if all the big companies have these breaches, you know, how are we to even have a chance? Why should we even bother, right? Let's just put our head in the sand because big companies can't do it either. And the truth of the matter is it's the simple behaviors. These big ransomware incidents, most often they're caused because someone clicked on a link in an email. And so the idea is not to say, well, it's a problem for everyone, so how can we, district, manage it? It's to say, hey, if you build awareness among your teams and do some pretty simple phishing exercises and make the awareness so high about the danger of links and attachments that you don't recognize, you can actually prevent some of those huge incidents. A lot of the big incidents we see from the big companies are actually caused by lack of fundamentals. It's the basics
that
hurt us. It's the little things that hurt us, and it's the fundamentals that hurt us. So it doesn't matter whether you've got this big sophisticated program or not, you can still implement the behaviors that will have an incredibly positive impact on the security and privacy levels in your district.
They really have to. And I noticed that there were a lot of vendors at FETC protecting all these things, you know, internet filtered, internet protection, all that sort of stuff, which brings the question, teachers use a lot of apps that are out there. Oh, this is a great app for teaching history. It's just wonderful. And they click through and they use we have to get that under control. Are they getting that under control? Because it can't be the Wild West of the things you're using, because it could open up literally Pandora's box. All right? I'm curious, do the school districts and the teachers, do they understand that? That they just can't do whatever they want with technology. It opens up a whole world of aggravation if they do.
The districts understand it. It is actually one of the biggest pain points that I hear about between teachers and technology leaders, with technology leaders trying to bring this practice of bringing technology into the classroom under some control, and teachers feeling that that is essentially stifling innovation and stifling their work. And I talk about this quite a bit I talk about this a little bit in the first book. I talk about it quite a bit in the second book for teachers, that we're speaking two different languages, and we essentially have a language problem and a communication problem. Technology leaders are not trying to stifle innovation. Bringing technology into the classroom is not innovative. It is what the teacher brings to the technology that is where the innovation really happens. It's how you use it. And we need to start thinking about technology the same way we think about everything else we bring into the classroom. Teachers do not bring a book into the classroom without reading it, determining a lesson plan, figuring out what the curriculum value is, what are the objectives, how are they going to ensure that students learn the right things from it, process it in their own ways, how are they going to measure effectiveness of the lesson plan that they,
right.
they built a book. Technology is the same way. We have to start reading those apps and websites like a book, not just from a privacy and security perspective, but also from a curriculum perspective, from a learning perspective. What is it bringing
Absolutely.
To the table? How are you measuring? Is it effective? How are you making sure all of that happens? We need to just build a stronger program around it. And it doesn't mean that we need to stop bringing the technology into the classroom. It means we just need to be a bit savvier. We need to frame out how we're going to bring it into the classroom in a more thoughtful way, the same way we do with everything else we put in front of kids. We need to think about it. We need to consider the appropriateness. We need to consider the efficacy. And we need to think about the privacy and security of the information and who's getting it and how are they going to protect it in the way that the district sees
right.
fit.
And you know, it always reminds me, and we all do this, you know, where you put something new on your computer and you have to, they give you a 68 pages of verbal of reading that it says, I agree to all this. And of course, nobody reads that. We just go, I agree, and we move on. And we all of a sudden we're getting started to get weird emails and malware and all that sort of stuff. And we have to be very, very concerned about that. I want to swing over, though, to the vendor side. You know, a lot of people, and you ask any vendor, And they're good people. I don't mean to imply they're not. Are you complying with everything? The immediate answer is yes, we are. But the reality is probably no, they aren't. Okay? How can a school district be assured, okay, that a vendor, okay, is being compliant? They can all say they are, and it's a long list, but where do the questions begin? And how are we sure that what we're bringing in makes sense? There's a lot of new companies out there, et cetera. We got to be really careful. What's the vendor side of this, the vendor responsibility, and how it relates to a school district?
Vendors have a tremendous responsibility when it comes to operating in and around schools, and it's in part a legal responsibility. It's in part an ethical responsibility, and
yeah.
It is the cost of doing business. If you want to be in the space, this is the bar that is set, and you have to meet it. So awareness among vendors varies the same way it does among districts. I think it's quite high in some regard, but there are, you know, at this point over 120 state student data privacy laws to navigate. And so that is sometimes quite jarring and quite surprising to many startups, right, who are coming into the space with best of intentions. And for the mature companies, very hard to operationalize around that kind of structure. What districts should be looking at are really the fundamentals, the privacy policy, the terms, and then ensuring that that those documents, which are legal documents that a vendor must have, that they accurately reflect what the district would like to see happen with the data. And then the district needs to have a contractual agreement in place with each and every one of its vendors. Whether it is a click to agree or a written contract, that is a legally binding instrument, and it needs to say what the district would like it to say about how the data will be managed and protected in alignment with the legal requirements.
I want to ask you, you keep using the word legal, and that's a great thing. Are districts really having their attorneys look at this stuff? A teacher signs, and you know, it's all, you're using the word legal, and it is all legality. Superintendents aren't lawyers. Okay. Teachers
no,
aren't
they're
lawyers.
Not.
Yeah.
And what's okay. happening is they're not being trained on the fundamentals in order to take a baseline of foundation of knowledge and apply it to reading privacy policies and terms. So, for example, they're not necessarily sitting down with counsel with a couple of samples of privacy policies and getting the information they need from the lawyer to be able to then go out and read privacy policies. They're not sitting down and struggling through a couple of privacy policies or terms of use to get fluent in them. You know, there are a lot of stats out there that talk about how long it takes to read all of the privacy policies and terms that, you know, that we would go through in a year through our online behaviors. And it comes out to some overwhelming number of hours. But, you know, as someone who does this for a living in part, I can say it's not necessarily the case, right? It's not the case. It doesn't actually take that long to read through all those documents. It takes some time to sit down and understand how to read them and parse through the language for a few of them until you get fluent in it. And then it becomes much easier. And you know what to look for. You learn what to look for. You learn what your requirements are. Also, there's nothing that says a district can't write its own contract and require that all of its technology providers, whether they click to agree or signed a written contract, agreements can be sent out to all technology providers. There are a couple of states, in fact, in which the state law requires that certain language be in contracts. If that language is not in the terms that a teacher clicked to agree to, well, then in many of these states, the contract becomes it's voidable that is cured with the right language. So it is a difficult proposition to go through this, but it doesn't require tens of thousands, hundreds of hours of legal work. It requires building a foundation to be able to do it. And then implement that as a turnkey process over and over again and get fluent in it such that you can call up a technology provider and say, hey, I don't understand this in your privacy policy. Can you explain it to me? There's nothing wrong with that. And it tells you a little bit about their customer service and potentially helps you build a partnership with that technology provider, also gives you information and knowledge that you can apply to the next company you work with. So it takes a little bit of work at the foundation in order to build a program that makes this easier.
It's really amazing. Has technology, education technology, I guess technology in general, okay, because we use that as just part and parcel of education today, okay, has technology been, I hate to say this, is it going to be more aggravation? Because the products that are coming out there are wonderful, but it's created this Pandora's box of challenges, etc. Has all this gotten harder, worse, etc. due to all the ed tech out there, or has it just always been a problem and just been avoided?
I think it's always been there, and it's really only in the past 5 years or so that the awareness has been established in districts that this is something they need to attend to. So the problem has always been there. But, you know, on the positive side, I like to look at it this way because it's really easy to get overwhelmed by all the technology and the new technology, and technology is always changing. And so people often say to me, how am I supposed to keep up with all this technology? It's always changing. I can't become an expert in every piece of technology out there. And the truth of the matter is, you know, maybe the dirty little secret is the fundamentals have not changed
in 30, 40 years. The basics of data privacy and the basic concepts that underlie almost every law, almost every privacy law, either intentionally or accidentally, the concepts have not changed. So I often tell my clients and those I'm speaking to that if you learn the fundamentals, it is not only forms a good foundation for the work you need to do and informs everything you need to do, but those fundamentals are not going to change. And it's utterly predictable where the legislation, where the requirements, where the parent interest, where it's going next. Because we've seen this movie before, and we know how it ends. So the idea is to understand the fundamentals, set yourself up for success, not just for today, but for the future. Because the technology changes, but our behavior doesn't change. It doesn't need to change, because protecting data relies on some fundamental concepts that we just need to understand how do we apply them contextually in different circumstances.
And it applies, by the way, I want to say what we said at the beginning of the show, to everyone from school counselors, school nurses, teachers, ed tech directors, superintendents, school board members. It applies to everyone, and we have to have a real understanding of it. You know, and I have to ask you this, as a teacher, has a teacher ever been involved in litigation over this? A teacher, not a school district. Has anyone sued a teacher over this?
Not that I am aware of. In most of the laws do not attach personal liability. There are a few exceptions. However, most of the laws do not attach personal liability, particularly in the education sector. There's been some movement to attach personal liability to the technology providers, but for the most part, the actual litigation, the regulatory investigations, the penalties, those are assessed at the organization, at the entity level. However, it's one of the many reasons why the organizations, why the districts need all of their employees on the same page, but that's not going to happen if we're not training people properly.
And it goes beyond handing out the manual on day one in September or August or whatever that is. Here's your manual. That way I've given you the manual, therefore I'm protected. No, it has to be ongoing, especially in this day and age where things change so quickly. It's unbelievable. One last question I have to ask you. Your current book, which is wonderful, Student Data Privacy, Building a School Compliance Program. That's Lynette Attai's book now. But she's writing, and it's going to be published in a few months, Protecting Student Data Privacy, Classroom Fundamentals. All right? And what brought you to write that book? What is it all that we've been talking about here? Well, give us an example of a classroom fundamental for the new book,
sure.
So they get it.
Classroom Fundamentals is really written, it's speaking directly to the teachers. So it's talking to the teacher about all their behaviors in the classroom and how to be thoughtful about how they manage their student data. So it covers everything from how do you take your own lesson plans with you when you leave a district and build your career, but get the student data out of it, to using public Wi-Fi or not using public Wi-Fi, to how do you set up good passwords, to how do you bring technology into the classroom and not put your students' privacy at risk. So it's really it's speaking directly to the teacher about the fundamental behaviors that I've heard about, learned about, seen over my years practicing, and speaking to them and not telling them what to do, but giving them different ways to think about it and be thoughtful about it, to build up their own fluency and practice and muscles around this in a way that hopefully is not disruptive, right? This is not about saying throw out everything that you do and do it differently. It's about saying, hey, there are simple changes that you can make that will protect the privacy of your students and your own data that lives in the same networks as your student data.
It's just amazing, and I would hope when the new book comes out in June, which, again, it's going to be called Protecting Student Data Privacy, Classroom Fundamentals, I would hope there are districts out there who immediately buy the book en masse, okay, a lot of them, and make them available to their teachers. This is you said it's the fundamentals. It's been around 30 to 40 years. That's true, but it hasn't come to the forefront like it has today. All right. And there was a sea change when Ed Tech came in and all that sort of thing. And here I am hawking the book, but I mean it sincerely. The districts, it's not just up to the teacher to buy the book. It's up to the districts to buy 150 copies of the book, okay, and put it out there so that the teachers can read it and understand it, because if they don't, it's a litigious world out there, and we have to be really careful. Plus, it's an ethical world. We have to take care of the kids and their privacy. It happens in medicine all the time and dental all the time. They have to protect their records. Every doctor has said it's the same thing with schools and teachers. We're professionals. We have to do it right. Lynette, you're wonderful. You're wonderful.
Thanks
You're
so much, Larry. It's always a pleasure talking with you. Always a pleasure having the opportunity to speak to your listeners as well.
It's great. And you live in New York City, so please go out and buy yourself a big corned beef sandwich for lunch this afternoon and think of me while you're eating it. Okay? Only in New York. The best. All right? Thanks, Lynette. You're the best.
Thanks, Larry.
Okay, babe. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The incredible Lynette Attai, my good buddy. I've known her for years, and these books are just amazing. The one out now, Student Data Privacy, Building a School Compliance Program. Hello, every district in the country. Hello. Okay. And For the Educator, okay, Protecting Student Data Privacy. It'll be out in June, subtitled Classroom Fundamentals. It's important stuff. All right. You can see her out in our magazine at ace-ed.org for the first book. She's wonderful. She's a contributor to the magazine and to my show. Been doing this for years. Okay. She's just great. And check out ace-ed.org. Follow us on Twitter over at EduTalk Radio. Share this with your colleagues. All right. It's good stuff. We're going to archive education-talkradio.org. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio. Oh, by the way, check out, if you want to learn more about Lynette, go to playwell-llc.com. Her company is amazing. Thanks for listening.